Well, hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, welcome back, Richard, after vacation. I hope you had a great time, and I know you probably had a cooler time than we did here in Texas.
Yeah, I did, just a little bit. My wife and I got to spend a week in Maine, up north, and I think the temperature hit 82 degrees one day for about 10 minutes and then cooled right off again. So,
well, we only had about 112 here one day last week, so anyway.
Yeah, our daughter kept texting us things like, it's death outside.
Well, it's good to have you back in the saddle, my friend. And friends, we want you to be a part of today's broadcast, so if there's something you'd like to talk about, let us hear from you right now, 844-322-2742, and that's the number in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I want to share some exciting, I think, encouragement to our listeners today. It comes out of the book of 2 Peter, and this is just really positive and hopeful as far as your life in Christ is concerned. And here's what Peter wrote. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. So if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've been born again. This passage says you have everything that you need for life and godliness. You're not lacking anything.
Yeah.
You've been equipped to live this Christian life. And boy, that's great news. Yeah. A lot of us think that we don't have what it takes. And so we just resign ourselves to kind of a second-class experience or a subpar experience of Christ Jesus himself. Well, this verse says, well, why would you think like that? Why would you be hopeless in your Christian experience? Why? Because you have everything that you need for life and godliness. Now, this comes through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. So later in this book, Peter is going to encourage his readers, and that includes us, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if we are growing in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, then this verse in chapter 1 really takes on more meaning. I do have everything that I need for life and godliness. I know Jesus, and I know exactly what he's done in my life. And so, yes, I have everything that I need for life and godliness. And then he goes on to say this, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises. And these are the promises of the new covenant. So when Jesus died on the cross, he ushered in a brand new covenant. That shed blood ratified the new. It put an end to the old covenant, and it ratified the new. And so when we believe in Jesus, we are heirs of Christ. And what are we heirs of? All the promises of this new covenant. That's our inheritance. Well, what are those promises? The fact that the laws have been written on our hearts and in our minds. So we have an internal motivation, the Holy Spirit himself. It's the fact that we are the people of God. We have this assurance, this great assurance of salvation, that we all know God. We have this intimate and personal relationship that we experience individually and corporately as a body of Christ. And then we have this wonderful promise that God has forgiven our sins and he remembers them no more. So these are the great and precious promises that have been given to us in Christ Jesus. And it's through these that we may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that's in the world because of sinful or evil desires. So we've been released. It gets back to our theme this month, a theme of freedom. We've escaped from the corruptions that are in this world because of sinful desires. We're dead to sin. We're fully alive to Christ. And that's what we have to recognize. We're fully alive to Christ, and Christ is fully alive in us. And so with that reality, with these great and precious promises, we can actually participate in the divine nature. We can live exactly as God intended us to live, to reflect His glory, His image, His life, His love out there into the world. That's what it means to participate in the divine nature. Now, this is what God has designed for each and every one of us, for every single believer here and now. This isn't pie in the sky stuff. This isn't stuff that's going to happen when we die. This is right now. Mm-hmm. You have an opportunity to participate in the divine nature. Now, here's the key. The divine nature is a nature of love. God is love. So when we offer ourselves to Him and live in dependence upon Jesus Christ, we get the experience of loving Him and loving others. That's participating in the divine nature. And that is so far above what we see out there in the world.
Absolutely.
I mean, it is so radically different. I mean, it is absolutely revolutionary when you realize that you can live way above what you see in day-to-day life, what you once experienced as a lost person. So, believer, take hope. Mm-hmm. Have hope. You have everything that you need for life and godliness. Jesus Christ Himself lives in you. And through faith in Him, through a dependent relationship upon Him, you can participate in the divine nature. Paul put it this way. It's faith expressing itself through love. Peter and Paul are on the same page. Absolutely. As far as these two passages are concerned. So, believer, do you want to participate in the divine nature? Simply walk by faith in Jesus. Recognize that you're in the new covenant, not the old, and you will start seeing His life of love flow through you into the lives of others. And talk about freedom. That's freedom.
Yes, indeed. That's the kind of freedom we talk about every day here at Basic Gospel, and we're glad you're here to hear it today. You know, helping people hear, believe, and live this good news about Jesus, keeping all eyes on Him, separating grace from law, that's the primary focus, or one of them, here at Basic Gospel. And to help everybody understand this vital issue, Bob and Richard have worked together on a new resource called Law and Grace. And as you make your July gift to Basic Gospel, we'll send you a copy of this 2-CD, 5-message series. Your gift today will help others to help us continue to proclaim the message of freedom in Jesus Christ, helping others to walk in the new covenant life. Well, you can donate at basicgospel.net. You can donate by phone at 844-322-2742. You can use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. In Canada, you can donate at basicgospel.net/Canada. And remember, when you make your July gift, look for your copy of Law and Grace. We want to get a copy of that into your hands. Well, again, open lines at 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel.
Thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk to Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. Yes. Where does it say that we're going to get a new moon and a new earth when the rapture occurs?
Well, 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 13, says this. We're waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to His promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So that's how Peter put it. We see the same type of language in the book of Revelation when John talks about a new heaven and a new earth. And all of that is the release of this earth from its present bondage and decay. Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 8. And what's significant about this new heaven and new earth is it's the place where righteousness dwells. And it's exactly how God intended it when He created all things way back when. And through this gospel of Jesus Christ, through everything that Jesus has accomplished, then we're going to experience a new heaven and a new earth, one that is totally free of sin, where righteousness dwells forever, where God takes up His dwelling place, and we dwell with him forever. Richard, any thoughts on this?
I think we get us to see just a glimpse of this now, thanks to some of the technology that exists, the Hubble telescope and others. They actually have photographs now of galaxies, entire galaxies that have crashed into each other. That's chaos.
Yes.
That's the result of sin. That is not God. He's going to remove all of that so that we get to see a universe and our own Earth as he intended it from the very beginning.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah. I want Bill Nye, the science guy, to see it too.
Yeah.
Maybe you won't. I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. Hopefully he will.
Yeah.
So Mary Jo, as far as how all of that's going to work out, the details, you know, it would just be mere speculation.
Yeah.
I mean, we could throw out a whole bunch of stuff, but we know that Jesus Christ is coming back, and when he does, we're going to be with him, and then there's going to be a final judgment and then a restoration of all things. The things that can be shaken will be and will be removed. The unshakable things will remain forever. And that's going to be us who know the Lord, and that's going to be this new heaven and this new earth. And so we can look forward with great hope, with a great sense of anticipation,
yeah,
with some real genuine, heart-pounding excitement about what's up ahead when Christ comes and gets us.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, well... I was expecting just to be a 30-second answer, and I got an earful.
Well, be careful what you ask for.
That's
Mary
right.
Jo.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, no, cut that out.
Well, thanks. Hey, thanks for a great question, Mary Jo. You always bring good questions to the program, and thanks for another one today.
Yes.
We appreciate you.
Yes, indeed.
Well, thanks.
844-322-2742. And in the meantime, while we await that new creation, there was this call that came in off hours.
Hi, Bob and Richard. I'm calling from the Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada area. And my question basically simply is, if after the flood, if it was only basically Noah's family that repopulated the earth, then how did we get the four or five different races? Thank you.
Well, that's an interesting question, and I think we need to be clear when we're talking about races of people. When it really gets down to it, there's only one race that populates the planet, and it's called the human race. Now, within that human race, there's a lot of variety. There's a lot of differences there, and a lot of those differences are simply genetic things, based on where different groups settled to live, and God had put in the genetic code, in the DNA, things that could help humans survive any place on this planet. So, you know, we divide a lot of, we want to divide the human race into different races based on skin color. Well, we all have the same substance in our body. Melanin is in all of our bodies, and some the pigment gets darker, some it gets lighter, but it's still the same thing in all of us. And why does that happen? Well, basically where people live, and it's just part of the genetic code. So let's recognize that there's just one race. It's called the human race, and Jesus came to save the human race. All can come to Christ and receive him and be born again. And when we are, there's absolutely no divisions. There's no distinctions. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, it gets back down, Richard, to the way of the world. You know, we read in Ephesians chapter 2 that we were all dead in transgressions and sins, that we followed the way of the world, and we lived to gratify the desires of the flesh. Mm-hmm. So with just any sense of observation, just a casual observance of what happens in the world, we realize that one of the ways of the world is division. that the world is constantly trying to divide people groups. I mean, and we see it everywhere. We see it, on job applications and applications to go to school. You always have to put what race you're in. You know, are you this, are you that, or you're something else? Well, why do people do that? Why do they do that? It's just we're a part of the human race. And the beauty that God has is that there's such variety in that. But the world keeps trying to divide us based on skin color, based on culture, based on ethnicity, based on all of these sort of things. And we have to realize that that's not from God. That is a ploy of the enemy. That's a way of the world. And so if we'll look at the gospel, look at what the Bible has to say, then we can come to that great conclusion that we're all part of the same human race and that God sent Jesus for all of us. And therefore, we can start treating one another accordingly. So the world divides, the gospel removes those lines of division. And that is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Well, we appreciate hearing from this caller, and thanks to everyone who contacts us with a question. And if you have one right now, you can give us a call at 844-322-2742. That number's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. And friends, if you ever wondered about this thing we call the Christian life and perhaps why it's not working for you, well, you're not alone. But you can find answers in Bob Christopher's Harvest House book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Right now, it's only $10, and that includes shipping. You can order it from basicgospel.net. There's a prominent link right there on the homepage, or you can order it by phone at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742, or at basicgospel.net. Order yours today and find out how the Christian life is really supposed to work. Bob?
Well, thanks, Bob. We had a question come to us through our YouTube stream. Lee wants to know how to achieve freedom in his finances. And boy, that's an area where many people want to experience some freedom. The debt load here in America, and really the debt load of people all around the world, is constantly robbing people of their financial freedom. We just want things. We want things now, and so instead of saving up to buy them, we go out and charge them, and then we have to figure out how we're going to pay for it. And so we're obligating future income on purchases that we make today. So how do you become debt-free? How do you achieve financial freedom? Well, you have to realize your income is your best asset, the money that you make. And so you have to learn to use it wisely. Dictate to your money what's going to happen with
it. Yeah, don't let your money dictate to you.
And that's right, and that's where so many people fall short. So there's great resources out there that you can find that could help you in this regard. But basically what you want to do if you have debt is you want to save up some money first and foremost for an emergency fund. If you can save up $1,000, that's a great thing to do. Dave Ramsey, this is some of the things that he promotes, and he does a great job with his steps on how to become financially free. And the first step is to save an emergency fund. Mm-hmm. Then the second step is to list all your debts out and start tackling each one. And so if you have $300 a month to pay on debt, you pick one and you pay as much as you can on that one and as little as you can on the others, and you aggressively go after it. And then when you're finished with that one, you take that money and you go after the second one, and then you go after the third one. And you do that until you're debt-free. And then once you're debt-free, then you start, you know, saving for other things. So that's where you have to start. And, this isn't a Christian thing. There's certainly principles in the Word of God, but this is just kind of using your sense,
common sense,
and coming up with a plan and sticking with the plan. it's like losing weight. I mean, it's a very simple, plan to lose weight. It's a matter of sticking with it. It's same with finances. Mm-hmm. It's a very simple thing. It's common sense. It's not rocket science. So just develop the plan and then work it, and you'll see results. And with each little victory, it will motivate you to keep moving down that path.
Yeah.
There was an aspect of this that I had to learn that wasn't just this practical stuff. The practical stuff has always been there, but it never made sense to me until I started dealing with my lack of contentment. I was never content with anything. I could have a big house, I could have a nice car, I could have the latest, greatest electronics, and I wasn't content. And that was driving some horrible purchase decisions because I thought the next thing would make me content.
Yes.
And that's an identity problem. And when I began to learn who I was in Christ, then the contentment that's available in Him began to inform my mind and saying, well, why don't you make this choice instead of that choice? And now we're dealing in the realm of the flesh versus the spirit. That I understand.
Yes.
The Spirit can do this for us. And so let the Spirit lead you where you're going on this thing, and then take advantage of all these tools that are available, because there are a lot of them.
Yeah. Right. And I think that's the key, is learning to be content in Christ.
Yeah.
And you can be content in Christ whether you have a little or whether you have a lot. And that is the secret sauce, so to speak. That's the lesson that Paul learned. And certainly that's the lesson we all need to learn. First, find your contentment in Christ.
Yeah.
And then once you find your contentment in Christ, then the common sense stuff just kind of starts to flow.
Yeah.
So, Lee, hope that helps. Thanks
Indeed.
For the question.
Yeah, and Mark wanted you guys to elaborate on Revelation 3:16. He says, when I hear pastors talk about this topic, it seems they're saying, if we're not real fervent, then we're lukewarm, and ultimately God will spew us out of His mouth. That's from Mark, who dropped us an email.
Well, it's a great question, and the passage has to do, I'd rather you be either hot or cold and not lukewarm.
Yeah.
Well, he's using a little bit of the geography to give a lesson. Mm-hmm. So the city there didn't have a water source, and there was a water source from the north. There was one from the south. One was from hot springs. The other was just cold water. And when they got there, it would just be lukewarm.
Yeah.
And he was basically saying, you guys are like the water source, like the water supply. And he's saying, come to life. I mean, come to life in Jesus Christ. That's the call there. So, if you're just sitting on the fence and you're going to go neither direction, that's fear.
That's the worst
possible place to be. So get off the fence and receive. Mm-hmm. And let the Lord do his thing inside of you. And so that's basically what he's saying there. It's not talking about a lukewarm Christian. You can't be a lukewarm Christian. You're alive in Christ. Christ is alive in you. You may not have the emotions all the time, but there is life, vibrant, dynamic life inside of you, and His name is Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's a good name.
That is a great name.
That's the name above every name.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I could go on about that
for a while.
But I won't. But friends, please remember that Basic Gospel is listener-supported, and we need your help to keep this good news on the air and online. Please join us. You can donate online at basicgospel.net. You can donate by phone at 844-322-2742. Donate through the Basic Gospel app or through PayPal. And in Canada, as I've always said, please make your gift at basicgospel.net/Canada. Friends, your gifts are vital. And when you give this month, you're going to receive our new 5-message CD series, Law and Grace, that Bob and Richard have produced. We look forward to hearing from you. Again, give online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742 with the app or through PayPal. In Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada. And if you have a question about anything you've heard or would like to hear here on Basic Gospel, well, give us a call at 844-322-2742. Call anytime. We'd love hearing from you. Again, that's 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.